Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Your pants, everybody. This is the EGX special episode of Red Player 2. Are we giving this a number? Are we not going to bother?
No. No number.
There's no number. Right, we're all knackered. I'm ill. EGX has broken us. This is the first time that the whole of Ready Player 2 have been in the same room together doing a podcast, which is since what, 2013?
2013.
Did we podcast?
2013. When we started off doing podcasts, it's the first time that we've actually had everybody in the same room. From EGX 2018. We're all sat in my house. Some of us are wearing Disney princess blankets.
Yeah, baby.
I'm feeling really ill. I've got EGX flu already, which is after day three of EGX. I'm Rich. Hello. We have Mr. Louis Kong with us.
Yo, yo.
We have Lee. Do we have Lee? Are you all right?
If we could just get my stuff out of the way now, because I'm not sure I'm going to make it all the way to the end.
Is that in terms of being asleep or being dead?
Dead.
Right, okay, actually. So that's something to look forward to. Elle is here.
The freshest of us all.
What? Mr. Ross of a Bellbag is here.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. We also have a super special guest. We have Andy, my brother.
He tries to keep me under wraps because I'm better than him.
No, that's not true. They're trying to replace me on the podcast already.
He's a younger, newer model.
A newer model of me. Just as arrogant, but less wrinkles. Oh, his face.
Less
now.
Of everything.
Less of everything. That is true. Right, look, we've all been to EGX. Some of us have been there for 3 days now. A few of us have been here for 2 days. We have thoughts and feelings and emotions and flu, and we're going to just ramble. As most of you guys know, we are not going to have any kind of itinerary. We've not written anything down. We don't know what we're going to talk about. This is going to be just as surprising for us as it is for everybody else. Look, if there's one takeaway to take away from this EGX,
games is good.
It's not games is good. I'm going to go round. And it's going to be a little bit impromptu, but give us your best takeaway from this year's EGX. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be a AAA game, it can be an indie game, it can be the people that are working on the exhibitions, it could be whatever the heck you want it to be. I'm going to start. There's been a ton of games, and AAA is not really massive on the agenda this year's EGX. There's not tons of them. There's not loads of AAA games. But one of the games I really wanted to play was Division 2. So up we rock thinking, not so sure about this, is it going to be any good? Ubisoft are terrible for ball shots, so the E3 demo that had the really shonky voice actors talking over the content, and everybody's looking at it in the same way we were looking at Watch Dogs, in the same way we were looking at Rainbow Six Siege.
Are you sure?
And thinking, the game is not going to look like this. There's no way the game is going to look like this, there's no way the game is going to play like this. So two massive takeaways for me. Firstly, it does look like that. And it does play like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is gorgeous. And it is really intuitive, really easy to play. The code that they had at this year's EGX, which I believe is the same one that they had at Gamescom, the same one they had at E3, was really nice, really easy to get into. And the guys that are running the Ubisoft stand this year are top notch.
They're really
nice guys.
Well rounded and polished demo. There.
And everything about it was great. Well, some of these stands.
AAA demo.
Yeah, AAA demo, because some of the other ones were really good. So the some of these stands, and I'm not casting aspersions on anybody in particular, is a lot of the time the exhibitionists are playing on their phones. They're not paying attention. They're a little bit kind of there and kind of not there. And I get it because there's a lot to do. Over the weekend, they're going to get knackered. They're going to get fed up with people walking up and asking them. There's a lot of repetition to it. But these guys were on the money. They were always attentive. They were always happy to talk to you. They always had a smile. It was just a great experience going and playing that game. And we played it, 4 times now? We keep going back to play Division 2.
They keep letting us in.
Then they keep letting us in. It's
and
been
they're
great.
Actually really welcoming. It's like, hey, it's you guys again. Like, come back for seconds.
There was very little eye rolling, which I appreciate.
Unless you're in the queue.
Unless you're in the queue. Unless you're in the queue when we rock past them. I enjoyed playing Division 2 over the weekend way more than I expected to. For all of those reasons and more. And I'm worried, because it's going to cost me a load of money, but I think it might be a day one purchase.
Oh, no.
Really?
Day
one for me.
I think, for me. It feels like a day one purchase.
The first division had a huge update,
the first division had a lot of problems.
It was a week or two. So they released the base game, without going too much in depth, I'm sure everyone knows this already. Released the base game, about 6 months later, they released the first big patch.
Yeah.
And it made so many big improvements. So, yeah, it's good.
It's been really good.
I think that's the flu talking. You sure?
Day one's a dangerous thing to say. I know.
But you're looking at. So you guys really enjoyed the Division.
I love the Division.
Admittedly,
and I love this demo
after the patches. Yeah, you really loved the demo. Yeah. You loved it a lot more than the Division 1 demo.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you?
Day one.
Day one is scary.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
New things are scary.
Old things can be scary.
I tell you what, right? Look, we're gonna move. We'll move away from Division in a moment. But one of the biggest things, if anybody played the Division 1 demo that they had at EGX, 2015?
Yeah,
2015. They made a critical error.
Thanks, Coleman.
Yeah, they made a critical error. He killed all of us. They made a critical error, in my opinion. They had a lovely little bit at the beginning of the demo in which you were playing PvE, and it was very short, I think, 10 minutes, maybe a bit less, where you get to kill a couple of enemies, and we were slightly tactical about it, and it kind of felt good. And then they shoved you into the Dark Zone.
Sorry, we were slightly tactical about it.
Did you pretend?
Quick, shoot the thing!
that was as tactical as you were. I put slightly, I qualified it.
Rich's tactics extend
There's
to...
A
get me
somewhere.
Up!
Yeah! That's a tactic. Waking me up is a tactic. But then they shoved you into the Dark Zone. And one of the weakest parts of the Division for me was the Dark Zone. I don't like people.
I went there once.
In the main. And so what they had was all these stations with all these other groups of people. We didn't know this at the time until the guy told us it was going to happen. And suddenly we've gone from shooting a couple of PvE enemies to being in a fight with all the other people that are at EGX. Mm. And the major problem with that is that all the other people that are at EGX are way better than us at games. And so we just got ruined. And Coleman killed me. I was next to him thinking I was safe. Shot me in the head.
We need an addendum here. Better at certain games.
No, people are better at all games than me.
No, excuse you!
We'll talk about that in a bit.
He put down me at the end.
Look, we'll move away from Division. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. Lewis, have you got a particular takeaway from the show? It can be anything. It doesn't have to be a game. It can be the show itself or whatever you want.
For me, probably indie games are way more interesting than AAA titles.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. There are so many amazing couch games and co-op games or just multiplayer games where I lost count how many games that we all played together.
Yeah.
Or we were doing like Winner Stays On or Winner Comes Off, in fact.
Yeah.
And it was just that was where we had the most fun this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Where we were all playing the same game at the same time.
And we were howling at some of them. Mm. We were absolutely laughing our asses off. And some of that's the company, but a lot of it's the game as well.
Yeah.
Mm. There's tons of them. The res section is bigger than I've ever seen it at this year's EGX, which is good because there's not that many AAA.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
But the res.
Yeah, well, that's res. That's EGX. Yeah. That's a different show. Yeah.
Machine to machine to machine. Play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been really.
Did anyone
really
else think that res was just better quality this year as well?
Yeah, it was.
The level of games was just much.
And the stands were really well laid out. It didn't feel like an afterthought.
No.
And in previous EGXs, sometimes it has felt like they've been shoved in a corner. Mm. This one's completely not like that.
And actually, go on.
We've been there 2 days. You've been there three. I don't think we've played any half of the res games out there.
No,
there's so much more.
And we've drifted through a few, and I will say this, judging the book by its cover, I do. And if it's a side-scrolling, pixel game, I'm not going to play it.
You did.
I did a couple, and actually that one was really quite good, but it has to have something. There's so many of them.
That one's redeeming thing was that it was close to you.
Yeah, it was next to me.
And you wanted to sit down.
I was game adjacent. That was a redeeming factor for it. But no, completely, the res section this year, the show, I feel, has been the layout of the show and the way that they presented the games, even the smaller ones, has been really nice.
We had reservations before we got there on day one because we thought, looking at the map and the list of games don't really give you a good impression of what's there.
No, it worried us.
And it took us a day to realise how good it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But not even just that. Like, what I found at previous expos is that a lot of the games in the res section in particular were either crammed in, so you had, four or five games per one bank of desks.
Yeah, with a single station each.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or... So when we went to 2015, and they had a load of indie games, and then they had like The Escapists. Well, that's not an indie game.
No, and I guess they're smaller publishers, aren't they? They do group the smaller publishers in with the indie games as well. But they've got to put them somewhere, and they're never going to roll with the big boys somewhere else. But I do know what you mean. It's a bit jarring. You don't know where it ends and where the next thing begins.
Yeah.
But the layout this year has just been so... It's been far superior.
Would it be great if they graded everybody from like the crappiest little bedroom coded game up to like nearly AAA in res?
And you move through it.
And you could go through
it. People are getting complex if they did that kind of thing.
You did that last one. Yeah. The last one picked for sports.
The biggest thing for me in that respect is the distance between stands at this year's EGX.
You're not sitting ass to ass with
And in previous years, you've had the game, a stall in front of it, around about half a metre for the dev to stand in, and then a bench facing in the opposite way with the mirror image with the next game on it. It's felt so cramped, and you've not been able to move around. And this year,
six of us around one machine.
We were able to do it, and there's loads of room, and it gives the devs room to talk to people.
10 or 12 of us?
Yeah, it was been brilliant.
The ship game.
Yeah.
It's been really, really good. Look, right. Lee.
The thing that I took away from this was that how much time I didn't have to spend in a Sea of Thieves queue.
that is important.
That's a big bonus to me. I want to focus down into a game if we're going to have a chance to do that, which is the game that stood out to me.
Fucking Beat Saber.
Strange Brigade.
Strange Brigade. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I've drifted away from this a tiny bit now. I've got to be honest.
After playing the campaign?
You've played twice. Yeah, you played the campaign.
I wasn't in love.
No, there's a reason. Talk about it. Explain very quickly-ish. Strange Brigade and why you liked it so much.
It feels like a Left 4 Dead type game in a magical, steampunky sort of world where you got magic and guns and abilities and things, and you can play as a co-op group of four and you can play in waves or you can play in campaign mode. And it's my Vermintide this year.
Wow, that's a big kick. That's a big kick. Vermintide was our game of the show last year or year before 2015.
Our indie game of the show.
Indie game of the show.
But there are a few other contenders, and this one was more head than heart. because I could see us playing this one. And
so I've played it twice now. So I played the campaign mode, which I did today, and yesterday I played the not horde mode, but the challenge mode.
Yeah,
the challenge mode. I played both of them, and I did enjoy it both times I played it. Now, since then, I've been to Steam, and I've had a look at it, see what people are saying, what the reviews are like. And there's an increasing number of people that are basically saying that we played, that's the game. That's all you get. That's the content. So what we enjoyed today, and if you love that, and if you want to repeat it, if you want to go over it again and again and again, then that's brilliant. If you like repeating the same content. If you don't, then you've been exposed to essentially the entirety of the game.
Okay. Yeah,
well, it's difficult to get that impression from just playing it.
You can't tell. There's no way of knowing. But if there's no real progression, because it feels like you need to level up. Yeah. It feels like you need to unlock more guns and unlock more content.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's actually the case. So they've done a really good job in presenting codes that work well at an expo.
I was going to say about the single player campaign. That's one of eight levels.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's pretty decent.
I thought it was kind of decent. And there's people complaining about the cost of the DLC or the season pass. And saying the season pass is really expensive and you don't get that much content for the base game. You've got to pay for the season pass and it's all really expensive. I like the game. I really like the game. The guy, and then this is another one where the guys who were running the stand were really nice. Sean LeBode was there and he's a great guy. I like talking to him.
Yeah.
I did like the game. Dropping, and let's face it, you're not going to buy it to play alone. No. You're going to want to play it with at least three friends. Four friends.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this isn't one person spending 15 quid or whatever it is to buy the game.
Has Left 4 Dead, as an example, got what you say is missing in this game?
No, but I stopped playing Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, but you put quite a few hours into Left 4 Dead.
But Left 4 Dead was unique at the time. What else was around when Left 4 Dead was out that did the same thing?
To be fair, a lot of co-op games, you play for your company. Sometimes you play for the people
that you're playing with.
Yeah, you will suffer games that aren't perfect.
Is that why you don't want to play?
Oh,
you don't want to say it in so many words.
Yeah.
I am still really interested in Strange Brigade, and I really enjoyed playing it. I did think it was a great little snippet of the game. My concern is that if the Steam reviews and the other people are correct, that snippet of the game that we played is the entirety of the game.
Mm.
If that's the case, I'm less interested.
That's not good enough.
Yeah. If that's the case, I'm less interested. If it's not, if they're wrong, then great, I'll look into it. But I think this is possibly an example of a great code, a great exhibition stand, getting people hooked into a game that actually...
Really good demo.
Yeah. It's like a great trailer for a film that's actually shit.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Well, it might not be. I don't know yet. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, look. L, have you got a particular takeaway?
We got a comment from James Bolton. Saturday was absolutely fucking insane. Never seen it that busy.
Oh, it was mental.
Yeah, it was quite...
Impossible to talk to devs. Don't know how you guys are doing that.
It's because we're really charming. No,
it's because there's fucking six of us.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. We all rock up with Ready Player 2 branded shirts and get in a dev space and they don't have much of a choice.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah, that's it. But half of these devs, there's only two or three of them. There's six of us. What are they going to say? No?
We hunt in packs.
But also, like, we weren't really there for that kind of... Like, we weren't there to interview devs.
No.
We weren't there to kind of have...
No, well, two or three of us are playing games. The other three of us or two of us will talk to the devs.
And we're not interviewing the devs. We're chatting to the devs.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Giving
we're not putting microphones in people's faces. It's not an official thing. We're gamers.
Cards. We can interview them.
Yeah, we're gamers. We're not...
I think it's nicer that way. You get more natural conversations with people.
Yeah.
You stick a mic in their face. They immediately...
Chalk up, you know.
Well, you get the official spiel. You put a microphone in somebody's face, you get the official scripted spiel.
Yeah.
But we just chat. It gets you... answers that you might not have gotten if you're doing some kind of official interview.
But the crowds were horrendous today.
Okay, it was mental today. It was so busy.
Yeah, there was video of them coming in.
Yeah, it was crazy. People were sprinting.
It was like a scene out of...
Yeah, sprinting.
Like World War Z or some sort of zombie
film. Like Boxing Day sales where people
The Black Friday sales, it was just like that. So as soon as the 10 o'clock floodgates opened, there were people set off at a sprint for the likes of Metro, for Call of Duty.
Calm down,
for
people.
They were, and they were barging. I was talking to somebody at the Intel stand.
You got in and out of Call of Duty all the time.
It was mental.
Well, that's what I don't understand. People were running for Call of Duty.
Yeah.
We stood around outside the PSVR thing, and then Ross wandered off to Call of Duty, and like less than 5 minutes later, I go over to and I'm like, say to the guy on the front gate at the PSVR thing, like, oh, I'm looking for a big dude, beard, shaved head, beard.
Yeah,
it was like, you. I was like, no, I'm not, because I'm looking for me, you idiot.
I know where I am.
But I was like, no, taller than me. He was like, oh, yeah, he's already in, he's already playing. I was like,
straight in.
Like, he walked away 5 minutes
I'm amazed,
ago.
Considering how big Call of Duty has been, it's been one of the big ticket items of previous EGXs. Nobody's bothered.
There was 20 people at the max when you were playing.
Nobody's bothered. And then, that could be a great turnaround. Is it Activision Call of Duty this year?
Activision or Treyarch?
Treyarch, yeah.
Yeah.
And that could be that they're great at turning people around and getting them in and out of the game.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
No, people are bored of the copy-paste.
I think people are bored of the copy-paste.
Yeah.
Also, stupidly, about a week and a half before EGX, they brought out an open demo weekend that anybody could play the beta.
It's like, if you want to draw crowds, have something special.
Have something different.
Have something that no one else has tried before.
Yeah, it was Team Domination. That's what they were running in there.
Yeah.
You ran with four guys next year.
The answer was, the crowds were mental this year. The trick is, as with most years at EGX...
Press passes do not stop people from barging into you.
No, that is absolutely true.
You know, we're spikes. That's what I'm saying.
Elle was like in pinball mania at one point where people were just smacking into her left and right.
I was seeing red.
That's your hair.
Oh,
I do think, though, that, you know, going back to the swarm issue, the swarm of people, I do think that the fact that all of the mainstream games, by and large, apart from PlayStation VR, are all in the same place, you know, down the further
end. Yeah.
And yet all of these amazing indie games, and I'm not an indie gamer by any means, I'm a mainstream gamer by trade, really.
Yeah.
Competitive game, you know, League, Counter-Strike, Titanfall, all that. So I've never really given them time of day, apart from when Rich has incited me to play them. And today was a really good sort of inspiration for me to get into indie games, but only because you guys were saying, come and play this game. Come and play this game.
Yeah,
if I was
yeah.
the kind of person who only likes Call of Duty or only likes mainstream Division games,
you'd probably carry on.
I'm down the other end of the hall for the whole day.
And they're missing so much.
They should have a mainstream game surrounded by indie games.
Yeah. But people don't know. They're there for the big ticket items. They're there for these great big games. And it's not their failing necessarily.
No.
But they want to try these big games. But 3 hour queues. Three hour queue for the Division.
Four hour
queue at one point for Metro.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to go and see a AAA game. However, indie games have more room to do things that...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are weird or unique or wonderful. Mm. They have more creative license to go outside the box.
They can take risks.
Yeah, they can take more risks.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Like, someone had a shredder as part of the game.
They were literally ripping up books.
Like, well, yeah, and that's the thing. That I was explaining to Lee, that shredder was actually a controller. It was connected to an Arduino, so whenever someone fed some paper in...
The screen
progressed the story.
And I didn't realise this, because at the beginning of the day I saw a little bit of shredded paper on the floor, and we got there later on in the day, and there was this
huge... It's a massive pile.
Like,
but you've got people who have got Dragon Cat, Yeah. A game where you hover your hand over something and then this dragon cat flies around and hits things and gets points.
You fly a cat with your
hand. Mau Mau, that was it. It's just, look, we say indie games. There are a couple of different levels of indie games, and this is what a lot of people get put off by. We say indie games, and there are some crazy, wacky, left-field indie games that are at this thing.
Yeah.
And they're great. And they're great to see, and they're great to play at the show. A lot of them will never make their way onto Steam. They'll be on itch.io. You'll be able to download them from itch.io probably for free, but they'll never make their way to Steam. They'll probably never make any money. But some of them, in... We're talking Strange Brigade.
Yeah.
Is in the same section. You've got the Worms, the new Worms WMD game is in the same section. Ages, I know, but you've got
2 years. You've got team. You've got the sniper Nazi.
It's the same engine. It's the same engine.
Same engine. Really, same company.
Same company. Same engine. It's but there are bigger games in there. Games that are like what? I've forgotten the goddamn name of it. The one, the Overcooked in Space. What was it called?
Oh,
Catastronauts.
Catastronauts. Yeah, right. You look at that game. You're not. You don't think indie game. No. You don't think this is some guy in his basement cooking up a game. It looked pucker. It looked professional. It had great graphics. It was really fully fledged. It had loads of great gameplay. We say indie game. What we mean is the smaller games, not the Ubisofts, not the Activisions, not the people that can afford to pay for an enormous stand.
But even if they have shit graphics.
Sorry?
Oh, no,
it is L.
Sorry.
I'm talking to L.
Yeah,
no, my point.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was rambling. Basically, before I go on to my point, I remember the first time I played Stardew Valley and saying the graphics were shit. And you never said it on the graphics. But I've spent so many hours on Stardew Valley. Sometimes you need to look past what's on the front cover and actually sit down and take a chance on things.
Yeah.
I think EGX is a great place to go and try things because you're not dropping 15 quid a pop on these chances.
Absolutely. And a prime example of that is Cadastronauts. Because I looked at it and I was like, oh, it looks like FTL meets Overcooked.
Yep.
And actually I played it and I was like, actually this is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Right.
My point. I love horror games.
No.
And I feel like we're going into a dip.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. There was
there one there?
Well, there's one so far that I found, which wasn't necessarily a horror game.
The PlayStation?
Yeah, the one that we... The VR one? Persistence.
Persistence. Persistence, yeah.
And I feel like we're losing the art of psychological horror. So if there are any devs out there listening, please make your weird and fantastic psychological horror game.
Ooh, there weren't very many, weren't
come they? And show it at EGX, because... There is a gaping void, not only at EGX, but in my soul, for some psychological...
That's
podcasts.
Never going to go away, Al. That's there to stay now.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, there's a podcast title for Gaping Void, but I'm pretty sure that's going to take...
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've already used that
we
one.
We've probably already used
we're
that
We're going to start recycling
and
them.
And you'll get weirder tweets than... Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Russ.
Well, yeah, the Res thing in general, and... More of a playing games with people, because I play NBA, as you all know, all the time. I don't play with people. I play with randoms online, but the co-op stuff, that's been the best part of me.
Yeah.
So what, with us, or with everybody else that's there?
Like Mario Party.
Oh, Mario Party was a great experience.
That was actually surprisingly addictive.
Yeah, yeah. Nintendo!
Oh, hey.
Be careful.
Can you do that?
Ross's Nintendo News! Yeah.
Thank you! Yeah, we played that a couple of times now, actually.
Yeah,
really enjoyed it.
Nintendo have been great as well. Their staff are amazing.
Yeah, oh, the staff at Nintendo.
Yeah.
You all fall out with a cheeseburger. The Nintendo stand, and I don't know if they work directly for Nintendo, whether it's a PR company.
Well, they chose them right. They
oh
were
God,
so
they were
good.
So they were bombastic. They were really energetic, and they were rotating them out because obviously it must be a lot. It must be a lot, but they were jumping around all over the place. They were really enthusiastic, cheerful. It was great.
They fit the tone of the game. Perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
The cheerleaders really for the demos as well.
They were, and they're
brilliant.
And the guy where we went on, and three of us went on. It's a 4-player game.
Yeah.
So.
They joined in.
The guy that was, and he was funny, he was, he didn't hold back. If he thought he could win, he'd win.
Yeah, he did.
And they were joking around and messing about. Great experience.
Was that the same for you guys?
Yeah, well, he was first. Oh, yeah. It was the last game, basically.
Oh,
yeah,
I was so annoyed.
I won.
I was like, oh, this steak game has fucked me.
That steak game was great, though.
Hell, I need
to spend
more
time. That is brilliant, but it's a subtle thing. This
oh, I was trying, I was trying to be subtle.
Yeah,
God.
That's yeah. Oh, yeah.
The pan flip one was pretty hard.
The podcast chef,
yeah,
lost his steak.
Who's trying to swat a fly?
Fuck you, steak.
That game and Nintendo Switch in general,
so
yeah, me too.
I said this last year. We played Splatoon 2 last year. We played Mario Kart last year. It made me think, do I want to Switch? Maybe. And there was a question mark over it, and we were really close to getting the kids to Switch for Christmas.
I just want to point out Hannah's here.
Yeah, yeah. and then this year we played Mario Party. I've seen Smash Bros. Being played. Yeah, I want to play Smash Bros. Tomorrow. I really do. So we're going to try and get on and play it tomorrow.
Pokemon as well.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, the Pokemon Go thingy. 3D.
Yeah. Pokemon Go thingy 3D.
Yeah.
2018.
I think, yeah, the official title.
Yeah. Sigma Plus.
Reboot. Revenge of the Pikachu.
We're going to... The thing that always surprises me is some of the games on the Xbox and PlayStation, they've got great graphics. They look really nice. Spider-Man looks really nice and all the rest of it.
But they play like dog shit.
You play some of these games on the Switch, they look great.
Yeah.
And they're four-player split screen and they look great. Yeah.
But you don't need hyper-realistic...
No, I mean, perfect. They are stylized, they're cartoonized, but they look great. They look brilliant, didn't they?
Do you know what? I'd actually be really interested tomorrow to go and play something like Doom or Wolfenstein.
On the Switch.
Like a AAA game.
Yeah. And see how it compares.
Just see how the Switch handles
a lot of different games, so you're going to have a good opportunity to give it a good test. Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember, I feel really bad, Man of Medan was also a horror-esque game. But it is more an interactive story than a game. Therefore,
it was barely interactive.
It's not a game for a show, is it?
No, it really was not.
It did not play well.
And it was really like sticky, like it juttered.
You mispronounced shitty.
It did jitter. It jittered so
And considering badly. That you were moving at about half a mile a year.
Oh my god.
Right? She can't walk, that woman. She was having problems.
Was controlling a tank.
It was terrible.
It was like, I just need you to walk through this doorway, not into the wall. What are you doing?
You turn the control stick in the direction. And she goes, oh, you want to go over there?
No.
I'll think about it.
I'm going to wander.
And then saunters over.
Such a...
Anyway, Elle's raged. Drink.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, right. Is that the game? I didn't realise.
There are all sorts of podcast games.
L's Rage to Drink. I talk about Beat Saber. Drink. Okay. Right, Drew.
I thought it was Ross.
Oh, no, we just did Ross. Pay attention. Ross. Jesus, are you here or not?
You have a selfie.
Because this is the first year you've been to EGX, right?
So you go to Ice Series. Apart from the indie games, was the fact that I really love ball games. Sports balls.
Sports balls.
Anything to do with sports balls, competitiveness. No, so I'm a big iSeries fan, so I like Insomnia, which is also at NEC now. But that's very much a case of everyone sits down, there's thousands of PCs, it is amazing, it's just a different experience. Everyone sits down, plays all these different fun games for everything all weekend, and I didn't think I'd like EGX at all, because it's completely different. But it is just an amazing difference. You go in all these different indie games and all these different big platforms, the amazing people that you meet, and devs who are people rather than just big wigs that
sell games. Exactly, you know,
not salespeople.
Yeah, real people.
All the different university students who are trying to develop these games.
Trying to finish the game.
Exactly, it was impressive. I was really sort of humbled for the whole gaming experience. Really, it was. It took it away from just being big wigs selling games.
Yeah.
To actually, it's sort of a community thing again.
Yeah.
Which you don't really get from that community aspect, from the competitive aspect, sorry. You don't really get that sort of community thing. Everyone's competing to be at the top and get sponsors and be the best and everything like that.
Yeah.
So that was really, really good. But sorry, back to the sports balls. So there are lots of different sports ball games. There was the NBA Playgrounds, which I beat. What's that?
That's not going that away. That's not going away.
It wouldn't have been a big thing, but everyone made it a big thing, so that was good. No, that was really fun. Big bobblehead NBA players running around. That was really funny. What else do you play? Dodge Brawl.
Yeah. That was there. That was in the Transfuser.
That was where you vote. So in the Transfuser section, for those people who don't know, is that you vote for the best indie game, and that person or that dev, gets 25,000 pounds. Was it?
I think it's up to 25,000 pounds. They get funded to make their game.
It's another humbling thing about gaming that brings everyone up. And yeah, so Dodge Brawl was amazing. what else?
The Hyper Brawl.
Hyper Brawl, similar sort of thing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than people's faces.
What? He did not cry. That's unfair.
I mean, he did claim child abuse, but that was just a win, I thought. It was really, really fun, I thought.
Isn't that another sports ball game that Ross lost at?
What, child abuse?
I lost at Elo.
Hyper Brawl.
Yeah, he lost at Hyper Brawl as well, that's true.
Elo got MVP at Hyper Brawl.
Yeah.
I unleashed the beast.
But what was funny, and actually it was a really sort of fuck you to the guy who was stood behind you watching, was that you four were playing, Rich and I were watching, with the guy who we played against and his son shortly after. And we were like, I think someone said, oh, Elo looks like she's struggling. And then this guy said, yeah, she's doing really shit. Like, she's so shit.
Glad. Do you remember?
I didn't hear that.
This dad subconsciously heard that.
He said, oh, yeah, she's shit, or something. And straight after, you win the game.
Yeah.
And
the dev of the game was stood behind going, yep, not fucking with her. It rinsed everybody else. Just took a little while to get used to it.
I know, I needed to read the controllers, but I didn't have enough time to
Get on there and beat everybody, that's
the
all it is.
The dark horse of Egypt.
Yeah. Look, that's kind of... Right, so these are the immediate takeaways. There's so many games to talk about, there's so many other things, and we're going to need to get a little bit more in-depth about a lot of the things that we play. And we've got some codes, some of the devs have been really generous, they've given us some codes to play. What am I being handed? TikTok. We haven't spoken about TikTok. Look, do we want to speak about individual games? Because there are so many to do.
That one.
Okay, look. Let's talk about, very briefly, TikTok. TikTok a Tale for Two.
Oh my God, I love
this. This was in the left field, which I didn't think it belonged in the left field. No. I thought it belonged in the rest. It felt like a proper game. So
just to butt in, the only reason I think it was in the left field was because it was different.
Yeah, very possibly. Yeah,
unique.
Yeah.
So for an EGX Virgin, what makes them in the left field then?
Okay. So left field is a section that's curated by Sega. And you apply to the left field section for wacky games. Games that are out there. Okay? For example, one year we went there and there was a game where the controllers were puppets. And you had to play the game by putting your hand in a puppet and then you had some sticks and you had to punch the other puppet and then scores came up on the screen. So it's that kind of wacky stuff that gets itself into the left field collection. A lot of it are things that are never going to make it. They're not going to see the light of day. Yeah. You're not going to sell a game that you need puppets to control.
But a lot of them are concept games.
And a lot of them are concept games. So really new and really weird.
Yeah. So Between Stations is another good...
So
that had the... it was a CRT TV.
Yeah.
CRT?
Yeah. Yeah, CRT TV.
It was an old school TV, but they'd made an extra controller that kind of bolted onto the side. That they made this TV... so it gave it like a tuner, an on-off switch, and like channel buttons that you use to play the game.
Yeah.
And it was just...
You were sat in a hotel room tuning your TV. That was the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game was that you were sat in a hotel room tuning your TV.
Okay, another interactive story.
Yeah, an interactive experience. But that's what the Left Field Collection is about. And then there are... Sticky Cats, which was another one that was just mental.
Yeah.
There's just loads of crazy things.
Did you not play that?
Do you not play Sticky Cats? And the cat.
No, we played that yesterday.
Yeah, we'll show you that tomorrow. Okay. And the Meow Meow, the Flying Cat one. The Left Field Collection is full of crazy games. People apply to Sega. What the Golf. We will talk about that more later. But, well, not on this podcast, probably
Sports
on another
house.
One.
Sports House, yeah.
Sports House.
Sports House.
People apply to Sega to say, well, look, we've got this out there game that's a different concept. Nobody's done this before. We think it is different. Can we be in the Left Field Collection? I believe that Sega sponsored. They don't have to pay for a stand. They don't have to pay for a store. Sega sponsored them to be there. And it allows people who can't afford to be at EGX to present their ideas or games. Yeah. For example, the people that had that TV, they had another game that was actually more full-fledged and they were planning on bringing out at Steam. But Sega didn't want that. Sega wanted the crazy game that they had. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the game that they were presenting there. And they couldn't afford to pay for a stand and all the rest of it. And they get out there. They get experience. They get to talk to people and press. They get to hand their business cards out.
And they get feedback.
And they get feedback and all this kind of stuff. That's the Left Field Collection. Anyway, TikTok at Alpha 2. TikTok is, I can best describe it as a point-and-click adventure game or almost an escape room game.
Yeah, it's basically just puzzles.
Yeah, puzzle game for two people. The thing that stood out about this, two things that stood about this. First one is that Simon Marshall was presenting it,
lovely man, Simon Marshall.
So he was amazing, and he explained the game, and there were other people there, actually. It wasn't just Simon, there were other people, I can't remember all their names.
So it was Karina, and I feel awful because I can't remember her name, because we spoke to her.
I think it might have been Kat or something.
Kat,
I think it would have been.
We spoke to her for ages.
Thank you, sweet Sam. So... thanks. Two people. Now, these two machines are not networked. Oh, we've got loads of beers. These two machines are not networked at all. And when you start the game, you get to pick whether you're player one or player two. And so, obviously, one of us picks player one, one of us picks player two. And player one has got loads of puzzles that they need to complete on their screen. Player two has got different puzzles that they need to complete on their screen, and you need to communicate with each other because the answers to your puzzles are in the other person's game.
Yeah. Now, it's hard to get that, isn't
it? It's just, but no networking. Nothing you do on your game directly affects the other person's experience.
You're basically playing two halves of the same.
You're kind of playing two
different games, but in tandem. Mm. But they're the same game.
Yeah, and it was it's an odd concept, but it works so well. Yeah, it works so well. And the puzzles were tricky, but not so tricky that you couldn't get through them within a reasonable amount of time.
If you weren't in a show environment, that pacing was going to be right.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing you can actually just leave, walk away from, and think about it.
Yeah.
Once you figured out it...
That was so obvious. Why? Well, you overthink things. Same as an escape room. You overthink things. It gets in your head.
Yeah.
But the aesthetic was really nice.
It was actually really nice.
The sound was lovely. And there were puzzles that you needed the sound to complete.
There was one particular bit
where the sound gave away. But the idea behind this is because you don't have to have the things networked, this is coming out on, so it's going to be out on Steam, Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. And because you don't need to be networked, it's cross-play with every fucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cross-play with everybody. You can do it over Skype, do it over the phone, in the same house, it doesn't fucking matter.
By letter.
It'd be a slower game, but you could try it. Just take a photo of what you're doing. By fax.
Carrier pigeon.
Okay.
Surely if it's going to be on Android and iPhone, you can call someone and play the game and play it over loud.
Yeah, more than likely.
Well, yeah, but you don't even need to be... So you could be playing on iOS and a Switch.
Yeah.
A Switch and Steam.
And so this thing, bearing in mind it's Left Field, it's really early in development. There were, what, four puzzles in it? Maybe five puzzles in it? Weren't that very many?
No, they weren't that very many.
Yeah? No. It still took us between 14 and 20 minutes to complete the puzzles that are there, and there are going to be tons more when the game comes out. And it's developed by two guys from Denmark, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say that wrong, but...
I think Kat said it was two guys from Denmark, who actually, I'm kind of... From what she was saying, I'm kind of gutted they weren't there, because it would have been really nice
to talk to them. Yeah.
Did you remember what your minutes left, or minutes?
They were on 14 or something.
We had 14, but it's my fault that we had 14, because... I was busy. Elle said, "All right, I found my other half of the map." So I found my half of the map in the house. And then we were like, "Okay, let's go somewhere." And we went to the clock place. Don't want to give it away for anyone, but we went to the clock place and we found the other half of the map eventually. And Elle said, "Right, I've got it. Let's go." And I said, "Oh no, there might be another clue." About 2 minutes, I was like, "Oh my goodness, clock."
I was trying to convince you.
She was trying to be nice, bless her. But
get the fuck out of the house!
Hold my hand, leave. So we probably could have done it in what, 12?
We're leaving now.
Yeah, yeah.
If I wasn't so engrossed. So yes. I guess hats off to the game for engrossing.
Yeah, this yeah. is the thing. It's a good sign that you were so engrossed in the game that you wanted to explore it.
Yeah, just thinking, yeah. That's nice.
I was just thinking, it's 10 to 15 minutes you're going to be playing that game.
Mm. Which is perfect for a show. Perfect. Yeah.
There's so few puzzles to actually occupy you for that amount of time. It's very good.
If that's an indicator of the quality of the puzzles that they're going to have in the full game, occupy you. Like, for a game like that, 2 hours worth of playtime would be spot on.
Yeah.
You don't want it to outstay its welcome, but 2 hours worth of playtime would be great. They did a great thing for the show. It was a really intelligent set of puzzles that they put together to get everybody into it. They didn't overwhelm you with story. They didn't force feed any of that into you. You picked some stuff up as you were playing it, and it just worked. It was really good. Great.
Once you got the gist of the game, it sort of flowed.
At first,
I went down a well, and Elle went into a house, and we're like, oh.
We are exactly
and that's a Saturday.
Yeah. Before we started playing.
Yeah. And then we went to EGX. Yeah.
I was just going to say before, one of the things that's frustrating about Escape the Room games, because I've played a few of them on my phone as well, I've played a few with you, and I've even been to quite a few Escape the Room games in real life. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're really good, but the amount of red herrings in them.
Yeah.
It's quite frustrating.
Yeah.
There's too many red herrings, I think, sometimes, just to keep you there.
Mm.
Yeah, I get why they do it, but this had a nice amount, didn't it? And it didn't feel like it was a red herring for the sake of it.
They just had things going on. You weren't
story.
Yeah, you weren't sure whether you needed to look at it too closely or whether you needed to ignore it, but I think they highlighted the right things. With the clocks, for example, in the clock shop, it was just a right little bit of movement on the clock, just to say, look at me.
Yeah,
you need to be paying attention to me just for a minute.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of other things. It was well designed. The aesthetic was great. It was pleasant to play. The code, or whatever you want to call it, the demo, was perfectly suited.
It will be
to
so
a show.
Much better playing at a distance.
What, away from him? Not right next to him.
Is that there was a specific puzzle that I got straight away, which was the spinny one.
Yeah.
Right round, baby, round, like a record player.
Ages.
Yeah, because...
Oh, what, moving round the world?
Yeah, because
yeah,
I could see that my clock was on 2, and his was on midnight, and I was like, nah, I've got to have done
mine. Mine was on midnight,
That's the one that needed sound.
The
one that needed sound.
Oh, I did that.
Because as you scroll, you can hear the clock going...
We sat there for 5 minutes, and in the end, Simon,
give us a hand.
Oh, right. No, I was like, I've done something. Oh, the thing's open a bit.
Okay, never mind. Right, look, let's not talk. We can't talk about everything again. I think we needed to talk about that because that was a really nice takeaway from the show.
Yeah.
We can't talk about every single game. I think we need to do a podcast where we're going to highlight a few more of the games that we played. Possibly we'll get a couple of devs on.
Yeah.
Because we've spoken to quite a lot of those this weekend.
Really
we'll have a chat about the stuff that
they've
got. Yeah, we've got all the cards. We'll have a chat about the stuff that they've got coming out. Look, let's not drag this out. EGX has been an absolute blast this year.
We've got another day to go.
I may die. I'm taking kids tomorrow as well.
Apologies.
It's not my fault.
It is. Well, it's hers.
No. Takes two to tango.
No, but she's giving me the kids.
Without his contribution.
Forgetting about how many tangos there were, she's forcing the kids on me.
No.
We're going back. We've loved it. I've genuinely loved it. I thought it was great. I've been to EGX's before and I've thought the layout isn't great. I'm worried that they haven't put that much thought into the resed area. This year, all feels brilliant. All feels great.
My best, enjoyed it.
The
best thing from this year is the company.
Right, there you go.
I meant for you guys.
He's getting tired. Oh, no.
You ruined it. We thought it was sweet lemonade.
That's
it.
Look, we're going to go. We're back at EGX tomorrow. There's going to be more thoughts, feelings, and exposures going on. But for now, Ready Player 2, episode undisclosed for EGX 2018. Thank you very much. Goodbye from everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Also, bring your own sandwiches because the prices are extortionate.
Bye.
done my toilet hint.
You could have done your toilet hint.
Nobody wants to hear your toilet hint.
I've got an amazing toilet hint.
Go on, toilet hack.
Okay, this will go in the outtakes. So, if you go to EGX and you go to the normal toilets that are inside the halls where EGX is...
People do not respect the one cubicle gap rule.
No. No, we're going to leave this. We'll
not happy. This is not okay.
People don't respect the toilet is where you are supposed to urinate rule.
Into, not onto.
If you... I don't want to tell too many people, actually.
No,
okay,
toilet.
So the upstairs bathrooms.
Whoa, Elle, don't do it.
They're amazing.
This is important information. Look, women especially.
Look, ladies, there was literally no one in the upstairs bathrooms. It was Valhalla. Go there.
Be blessed.
Were there dry seats?
And yes. for those people that are now at EGX 2019 looking up and going, there is no fucking upstairs, you idiots. You have to go back out to the entrance and then go upstairs.
Also, I feel really glad now that I didn't fuck up that game if that dad was judging me that hard.
Yeah, fuck him.
I'm surprised you didn't hear.
I didn't hear him say. I'm glad I told his kid to fuck off now. Yeah. Fucking deserved it.
I mean, yeah.
So, Dad, if you ever do listen to this podcast,
fuck
yes,
you.
I am shit, but I'm better than you and your child.
And your child. Drop the mic. I'm not going to drop the mic. They were expensive.
It's okay. They will never listen.
Well, that worked.
Yeah, that was good.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.